Blog Talk Radio.
It's Mark Rawson, and I'd like to welcome you to another night of Spiritual Connections Radio. As you know, we are into the first show of the month, and we used to have this show on, originally it was every Thursday night. We moved it to Mondays, and with everybody's schedules and everything, and more importantly, all the different work that I'm working on, I'm actually cutting back on the number of shows that we do, not only for this show, but for a lot of shows on Spiritual Connections Radio. So most shows have gone to once a month. So this is our show for the first Monday of the month, and we will not be on weekly anymore. Our next show will be in June. And we have, of course, as always, great guests and everything that are lined up for all the shows. If you want to find out more about these changes and everything else that's going on or who's going to be coming up on the shows or to listen to any of the replays for any of the shows. The one we had with Patricia last week was absolutely amazing. And actually I have left that replay link up on our website. So if you want to see all those changes or see the replay links or any information, go to our website, which is spiritualconnectionsradio.com. And with that, Pamela, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I'm very well tonight. Thank you. And you?
I'm doing good. It's always great. I get really excited. I look forward to it all week to do the radio show with you. And, you know, at this point, it feels like we've been doing the show for like 5 years. And it's just, I really enjoy it. And I look forward to having you on, you know. So it's great having
you
here. So thank you.
No, you're so welcome. I love being on the show. And one, I probably... one of the strongest talents I've seen from you is your ability to bring in these amazing people. And I'm so stunned every week when we talk to these people. They're just phenomenal. And you did it again tonight. Tonight we have a man named Douglas Sutton, who is Vajrasharya. I hope I pronounced that correctly, which means an empowered teacher, which I can't wait to hear what he has to say. He is the vice abbot of the Dari Rulai Temple, and we'll let him talk about this because there's a lot of words that I'm not quite sure how to pronounce. Douglas Sutton returned to the U.S. after over a year ago after spending 8 years in China, and he's an ordained teacher of the ministry, Mystery School charged with transmitting this ancient lineage teaching in the West. Now, this is phenomenal, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him. So welcome, Douglas Sutton, to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, Douglas.
Now, one of the things I wanted to start with is I know you and Mark know each other, and I'd like to give Mark a chance to tell us how he knows you or how he met you.
Yeah, thank you. As everybody knows, I love telling stories. So, it's amazing. You know, you kind of commented on the beginning of the show that, you know, I I find all these different people to be on the show and everything, and it just is spirit just really lining me up with constant networking. I'm always networking with people around the world, and it's always great to really have a number of people that I can go to based on anything that I want to talk about. And but the relationship with me and Douglas is actually more than that. You know, from being a past life regressionist and somebody who can actually see past lives, I know that me and Douglas definitely had a past life together as brothers. And Douglas will talk a little bit about it in a second, as far as how it just the two of us from the beginning of first meeting each other felt so bonded at a level that you would just never expect for friends. And, you know, I've been in contact with him, you know, for the time period I lived in California and then for all the travels I've done. But where I originally met Douglas was at a convention, spiritual expo that was being held in California. And if I remember correctly, and Douglas, you can tell me if I'm right or not, I think it was the one in Long Beach.
Yes, Long Beach Health Freedom Expo.
Yeah. And doing what I usually do, I go around and I check out everybody at the expo. And about three or four booths down, I had actually been there setting up a booth. That was during the time period when I was traveling around and setting up booths for the spiritual teacher, Deborah King. And I actually had set up a booth at the expo and manned it for that time period. And, you know, me and Douglas were talking about this once. It was a very interesting cross-section because on the left side of me was this Hindu guru who ran an ashram somewhere. A couple booths down on the right was Douglas and his group. And then right across from me was the Scientologist. So I was like, boy, this is the universe is just like crossing over here, you know. And it's just amazing to see. So, you know, I was wandering around and I went down and I noticed that Douglas was down there giving blessings. We started talking. I think we sat down before we knew it. We were sitting there talking for like an hour. And the connection that the two of us had was just amazing. We spent a lot of time together, you know, sitting in each other's booths during that convention and just really getting to know each other. And we've been in contact ever since. And, you know, I was talking to him when I was in France, you know, when I was staying at your really nice house there in France, Pamela, that you gave me for the month. And, you know, I was in contact with him when he was traveling. We were talking about before the show started that he was traveling around the world again just recently. And, you know, always just amazed at all the great work he does and had a chance to experience his healing work and his different blessings and everything directly in the booth and meet a lot of the different people from his order. And it was just absolutely amazing. Do I remember all that correctly? Douglas?
Oh, yes. Were you pissed?
I was going to say, I think the two of us had a really amazing connection. It's always been that way since. So I'm glad that I know you, and I'm really happy that you were you're on the radio show to talk about everything tonight.
I'm also happy to be here on the radio with you, and I also, like you said, immediately, I remember the first time you walked by, and I was sitting in the booth, and we were standing doing healings for people, and when our eyes met, there was a connection right away, and I remember over the period of a day, we finally got to talking, and then, like you said, the more we talked, the more we talked, and the more we felt connected, and I remember that you suggested to the other people who were in the booth with you, you've got to go over there and get a healing. Check that out. And there were three people who came over who live in L.A., and I haven't told you this before, but two of them have become disciples of this school, and the third
wow.
is a practitioner school. So they came to the temple. They experienced the kind of healings we do, and they were like, wow, yeah. So that was real positive. And then I have a little story from another from the expo is that I had been planning to go to India and Nepal, and I was going to buy some statues and things we needed for the temple, and also I was thinking to go on a pilgrimage and go to Shakyamuni Buddha's holy sites, his birthplace, where the Bodhi tree, where he attained enlightenment, and so on. And I was already planning it, but I hadn't told a lot of people. And I went over and visited the, you said, like the Vedic astrologer who was next to you. And he said, sit down, sit down. And he looked at my palm and he asked my date of birth and time. And after a minute, he said a few things. And then he said, and in the next year, you will be going to the Himalayas. And I was like, whoa, how did you get that? Because I hadn't told almost anybody. And he said, he said, if someone's going to go to the Ganges or the Himalayas, you can see it in their chart. So I had a lot of amazing things happen at that expo, and meeting you was one of them. Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's a lovely place to start, start the interview. And basically what I wanted to start with was, what kind of healing do you do? In that exposition, when you were doing healings with people, what kind of healings did you do? Let's start there.
Most of our practices involve mantra, mudra, and visualization, the three mysteries, body, mind, and speech. So I'll be chanting one of a number of mantras, mostly ancient Sanskrit mantras, doing a visualization for them, and using a mudra, emitting healing light energy to them. And then we also have many specific techniques that have been passed down to heal different kinds of illnesses and conditions. All of these things have been handed down through an unbroken lineage of awakened masters that goes back well over 2,500 years, and includes Shakyamuni Buddha, but then goes back well on before that.
When you say you do visualization for someone else when you're healing them, does that mean that you visualize something changing in them, or the light moving into their? What do you visualize
light
by speaking?
Yes, the light moving into and through them. And there's different ways that that can be done. And if I know what someone's particular problem is, then I'll think with clarity about it going to that area. And then there's a number of different kinds of healing techniques. Some can be done for groups. Some can be done long distance. Some are for specific illnesses. Some are general. And so there's a number of meditations we do for healing or helping ourselves or raising our awareness, and parts of them can be used for self-healing or to heal others, the visualizations, that is.
Wow. Okay. Mark, did you want to jump in here with anything, or can I keep going?
Let me just jump in for a second. I want to actually take one step and go one step higher, and that is, okay. Can you tell us what your order is, what it is that is your belief system and all that, because I think we kind of jumped in there and went through my story, but we haven't really told anybody, you know, what is it that you're teaching, and what is your belief system?
Okay. Well, I had slowly discovered energetic healing or consciousness healing after I had taken a massage class or classes at a massage school, and one of our teachers said, did you know you could use your mind to help people also? And I was like, really? And one of my classmates said, oh, that's my job, and someone I'd been talking with. And then she introduced me to my first little baby steps of energetic healing, and taught me how to scan someone's body and feel the energy imbalances or blockages and things like that. So over a period of time after that, I studied with a number of energetic or consciousness-based healers just a little bit here and there, and didn't really have a lot of level, but I was very interested to keep developing that ability to help people. And finally, after a long time, and I had been doing yoga, including with some famous yoga teachers, and finally I decided to look for a good teacher and study energetic healing, and I didn't have a clear idea who that was going to be with, but I was just looking for one of the best. And I'd also, 3 years earlier, read Yogananda's autobiography, and it was the first time I really had some belief or understanding that, yes, there are still awakened masters, and people can learn from them and learn how to become one of them and to do all kinds of miraculous things to help people. So with that said, I was looking around for a healer to study with, and someone who told me that over 20 years, they had met many masters and awakened masters and healers and religious and not religious, all kinds of people. Someone told me that the most powerful healer they'd ever met in 20 years was this enlightened Chinese Buddhist master. And so I went to check out the temple and watched him with his monks chanting, and I wasn't really sensitive, but I thought, well, this is cool. I didn't really have a big aha. And then I went and saw him doing miraculous healings. And then I took a healing techniques class. And immediately, everyone in the class was emitting this healing light from our hands, and everyone could feel it from each other. And he taught us a number of techniques. And that was the beginning. I started going to the temple. I still didn't know a lot about Buddhism, but I knew that these techniques were working, and I saw my teacher do all kinds of amazing stuff. So over time, I got to understand Buddhism more, and I came at it from a position of interest, not a position of belief or disbelief, and then slowly over time started understanding some of what people might call the truths of Buddhism.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, while we're on that topic, and definitely want to hand this back over to Pam in a minute, can you tell us, what is Buddhism?
Well, over 2,500 years ago, Siddhartha Gautama was a prince in what is now Nepal, and he renounced his life as a prince in search of enlightenment and understanding of what this world really was and why they were suffering sickness, old age, and death. And after studying with a number of masters, two of which at least asked him to become the next lineage holder of their lineages, he had attained some level of illumination but not full enlightenment. So he kept traveling and practicing, tried many things, and eventually attained full enlightenment and was able to see the true nature of life, death, and existence on the deepest level. After that, for 40 years, he traveled and taught people how to develop their own awareness, how through practice, meditation, and chanting, and self-discipline, and living a virtuous life, and cultivating awareness, and perseverance, and generosity, and patience and tolerance, cultivating insight and slowly wisdom and mindfulness. Through this process, people could slowly rid themselves of greed, hatred, delusion, and open up their awareness until a final step where they reach enlightenment and can see the past, present, and future and the nature of all things. So that he set the pace and a method. And then that has continued to evolve and develop since that time, 2,500 years ago.
Wow, thank you. Go ahead, Pam.
Well, Douglas, what I'd like to talk about is the sharing or giving of light. Now, I know that in some schools of thought of Buddhism, they have a concept that if you sit with a master who is enlightened, that they have the ability to give this light or this enlightenment to you. I'm afraid I'm a bit ignorant about it, other than I know little pieces here and there. So I'd like you to, if you know what I'm talking about, fill in the blank.
I'll approach that from a couple of angles. One, the first spiritual teacher that I met was someone from Sri Lanka, and he was able to do some kind of third eye or inner eye activation, and everyone who went to see him saw inside our heads just like flashes of light and color without him being near us or even touching us. And this was an out-of-the-box experience for me. And I was like, whoa, I don't know what this is, but it happened, I believe it, and I'm interested to learn more. And that kind of opened me to start exploring Eastern spiritual practices and healing practices. I mentioned that for a long time, I wasn't very sensitive energetically, so that experience of seeing all this light and color inside my head was very powerful. Years later, after I'd been practicing with my teacher, my master, Master Yu, who was the 49th lineage holder of our school, years later, I went back and I visited this original teacher that I'd gone to thank him, helping getting me started on the path. And as soon as I went into the room and he was there, I felt this energy, and it was like a tingling around my body. And so he was at a level where he was putting out this kind of spiritual blessing, this vibration. And after some years of practice, I had become sensitive enough to be aware of it. So masters can give us empowerments and blessings, and some people call them attunements, to help open up our innate and natural abilities that are closed by our ignorance and our passions and our conditioning and training. And at the same time, my teacher would say, a master can only lead you to the door. So they can help you, give you techniques, help guide you, give you blessings, and helps you along. And then at some level, we have to be practicing and going into the state or different states of consciousness ourselves. And the more we do that and the deeper we can do that, then eventually wisdom can arise on its own.
Oh, wow. That's a lovely answer. Thank you. Now, the next question I have is about lineage holder, because you mentioned Master Hugh, who was the lineage holder for
the Chinese Esoteric School.
Say it again, I'm sorry?
Hanmi, the Chinese Esoteric Buddhist School.
Okay. Can you fill us in on what a lineage holder is so we don't confuse people? Because I think there's probably a lot of people who don't understand that.
Okay. Well, and I'll mention just a little bit about our school. Around between 716 and 720, three great Buddhist masters went from India and Sri Lanka to Tang Dynasty China, early Golden Age China, to Xi'an, the capital. And the emperor, seeing what their spiritual abilities were and having met them, gave them permission to open a temple and gave them support. So they became the first lineage holders of this lineage in China. And they had had teachings passed down to them from their teacher and their teacher's teacher. And right now I am an empowered teacher of my lineage, but I'm not the lineage holder. So there's one teacher that will have all of the highest empowerments and the complete training and knowledge of that lineage. And our lineage started in China, as I said, around 716, 720. And then as people traveled around China and the teaching spread, our school, our lineage also absorbed the essence of Taoism and Confucianism as people met masters of those lineages and learned from them. Does that answer it or not quite?
Yeah, that does answer it. Okay. I think everybody is pretty clear on that. So a lineage holder is someone, just like on a genetic level, where you pass something down to your children, you would pass down the wisdom and the training and the information of this particular temple. Am I right?
Yes. I sometimes use the analogy of, let's just say, computers. And when meditations are taught, practices are taught, it's like there's a software download. The mm-hmm. lineage holder gets the full software suite. It gets all of the teaching, all of the knowledge, and all of the empowerment that can come through that lineage.
I see. And then does he pass down this lineage? I guess the thought that occurs to me is, why can't everybody have all of it? And I get the whole process. I do get it, and I understand the way that it has developed. But I guess the concept of this one guy who has all of it is going to just pass it down to one more guy that has all of it when he can't do it anymore. and there's still only one guy that has all of it. When do we all get it?
You can get as much as you can handle. The first time I said I took this, the first class I took with my teacher was called, you know, it was a healing techniques class. And in that first class, he said, I am here to teach what I know, and if you wish, I will teach it all to you.
Lovely.
So really, it's our readiness, how open is the vessel to receive it all. It is said that there were over 64,000 teachings and thousands of mantras, and there were, he taught us a lot. He was, sometimes people said he was like a fire hose. He was teaching us so much. But even then, there was only so much time in the day and so much time for us to practice and to attain some level with the things that he taught. So the more someone had practiced martial arts, the faster they could go because they had already opened up their energy channels. The more someone had done other spiritual practices that were real and had and really opened them up, the more they could receive. So he said that he could enlighten anyone on the spot, but that it would burn them up because they weren't weren't ready to run that much energy.
I see. All right. Well, that's a good answer. Now, and it brings me actually to my next question, which I'll be quick about, and then I'll turn it back over to Mark because I know he's waiting to ask a few questions too. This concept of becoming a monk as a child, in this tradition, it's not even heard of, but in Eastern traditions, it's a fairly common thing to see small children in monk's garb studying under a master at a very young age. Do you think that those type of children have an advantage over someone that's become a monk like yourself or an empowered teacher like yourself as an adult?
Yes, in that they don't have all of the bad habits. They have more discipline. They don't have to unlearn things that we have been taught. Master Yu said, my teacher said, that in ancient times, sometimes a master could just say a few words to someone and it would lead them to enlightenment because people were very simple and pure. But today, we see a lot of TV. We have a lot of teachings about me, myself, and I, you know, and can't let go, can't think of the greater good. We have a lot to get past or to uncondition or to let go of to be able to reach higher levels of spiritual awareness.
I see. Thank you. Thank you so much for those answers. Mark, are you there? You want to jump in and ask a question?
Yeah, thank you. And why don't I go ahead and just do the break so we can move that out of the way. I just want to let everybody know you're listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. If you missed the beginning of the show, you can listen to this on the replay. It'll be available about 10 minutes after the show is over on the same replay link. And to find out more about this show and other shows, make sure to go to our website at spiritualconnectionsradio.com. If you missed the beginning of the show, I made an announcement that we are moving this particular show to once a month, so we will not be on next Monday. The next show will actually be the first Monday in June. So make sure to check out the website for all those changes. So, Douglas, as we move forward into the final half hour of the show here, let me ask a couple questions as it relates to me being a spiritual person and basically a Christian, and that is, can I come to L.A.? And I know there's other locations we'll talk about also. We don't have to go to L.A. But, you know, if I want to come out there and study with you, would it be okay for me to do that? Are all religions accepted? And what exactly would I learn by going out and doing some of the work out there?
My teacher said all religions are of one family. So we welcome anyone, and people can learn meditations that will help them heal themselves, strengthen themselves, transform themselves, and still practice their original beliefs. And One of the things about Buddhism is that there's an encouragement to experience things for oneself. So if we can, hold our beliefs in an open hand instead of a tight fist, then we can experiment and see what other schools could teach us, and try out practices that resonate with us and see what happens. So people can learn meditation. There's a lot of simple, short ones. There's others that are designed to open one's hands to emit healing light. So if people want to become spiritual healers, they can do that. There's a practice to take you into the first state of Zen. And people who do that may experience the feeling of a halo over their head that looks like what you see in the pictures of whether it's Jesus or Buddhist masters or, you know, Buddhist figures. So there's no limitation on our end, and people can try it and see what happens. We also do free healing every day at the temple in L.A. where I am, and that's a big part of what we do, is so free offering of help to people.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we talk about the other locations, what type of services are available remotely, you know, that I could contact you for and have work done remotely?
Okay, and let me preface that by saying our school emphasizes practice over just ideas or philosophy. And my teacher would say, you can read a whole bookshelf of books about cars and driving. Unless you get behind the wheel, you're still really not going to know what driving a car is like. Now, why am I saying that? Because a lot of the things that we do in terms of services at the temple, it's after people have practiced the meditations or experienced the healing work that we do that they go, whoa, something is going on here. And, yeah, that's working. All right, now let me ask for other services. Most people don't just find us on the web and ask for services without having some experience that that the practices are real and that there's real benefit and healing that can come through through our services. With that said, we have a variety of services. So one of the things that we do is called Dharma Rites. A Dharma Rite is a Buddhist prayer ritual or ceremony where a group of esoteric practitioners gathers together and prays for a common goal to help someone with their obstacles or problems. And people who have experience working together and experience with advanced states of consciousness can overcome obstacles with relative ease that would be insurmountable for one person alone. So we're like karmic piano movers. And if you have an obstacle that might be difficult for you to handle yourself, a team of us can help out. So we do these dharma or chanting or prayer rites to help people overcome obstacles or problems with health, wealth, and luck. Also, we do a lot of what we call assist the deceased rites to help people who have passed. So it can be someone, a friend or a loved one who is a relative who has passed recently, or actually also generations ago. And by helping people in our lineage, then the blessing also comes back down to us and all of their descendants.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's a couple of things you had mentioned earlier I thought was interesting. I've heard from a lot of people who have done like regular Kundalini risings and energy risings. It's kind of like what your master had taught, and that is if you come in with too much energy too quickly, I know a lot of people who have gone through Kundalini experiments and have gotten so much energy run through them that at a certain point it almost feels like their chakras are burning. That's not related to what you guys are doing with your work, but I know some people who have had awakenings, it can be a little extreme sometimes. So it's understandable about not wanting to bring in too much too quickly. And it's, I think for a lot of us, we'd like to wake up yesterday. But I think for a lot of us, we don't recognize how much karma or how much experience you know, I kind of tell a story. I was talking to a friend tonight over dinner, and I had said to her, I said, you know, it's amazing because, excuse me, you know, I went through, you know, what I would call the dark year of the soul, which is just a whole lot of change. And at such a level with so much change that it really rocked me to my core. And I wouldn't recommend it for anybody. And I remember saying there was one point I went to a lot of the spiritual guides and everything I was using, and I said, I want, you know, before this all started, I said, I want exponential growth, and had no idea what I was getting myself into and didn't realize, you know, how ego-based that was. And I can tell you, there's when I work with, I do a lot of coaching and healing work now with people, and the common phrase I use with everybody now is everything with grace and ease. So, so you don't do that. So there was, I think it's also what you had said was really important, and that is really to experience this. And a lot of people don't get this when they go to spiritual conferences. It has to be experiential. It's, you have to really take part in the experience. It is beyond reading the books and stuff like that. And I think before we get any further with talking about this, and of course flipping this back over to Pam to ask questions, I want to make sure we leave enough time to go through a couple different things you're going to do with us, especially since we want to cover those before we go deeper into what's going on with your center and, you know, people coming there. So we had talked about a couple different things you're going to do, so why don't you go ahead and do a description and lead us into that.
Okay. Thank you. Our meditation practices are practices to help oneself and transform oneself. And there are techniques to heal yourself and heal others, usually, and to help you along the path of awakening and opening your insight, improving your luck and your health and all aspects of life. Most of our practices involve the simultaneous use of mantras, mudras, and visualizations, as I said. What I would like to do is a very brief spiritual healing for people who are listening, and then teach a short but profoundly effective meditation practice. So first, I'll teach a Sanskrit mantra, which people can chant during the short healing. Usually the healing would be the better part of an hour, but I'll just keep it short today. And you can chant the mantra as I do a little healing for you, and then I'll go right into a meditation practice, and you can continue chanting the mantra in silence during the meditation practice. So, for the healing, you can take your glasses off if you have them, close your eyes, turn your palms face up, and I'll say the mantra a couple of times, then we'll chant it together for a bit. You can chant it aloud if it's convenient, and then I'll tell you to continue chanting in silence. Okay, the mantra is Ong Ah She Hung. The Ong and the Hung have a little nasal sound, helps activate the power of the mantra. So if it's convenient, you can chant it out loud with me. Ong Ah She Hung. Ong Ah She Hung. Om 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 Ah She Hung. Continue chanting that mantra in silence, and I'll do a brief bit of healing for you. Okay, keep your eyes closed. Continue chanting if you can in silence. Om Ah She Hung. Om Ah She Hung. Om Ah She Hung. Please turn one palm face up and one palm face down on your lap. Please visualize you are sitting on a transparent lotus flower. Slowly the lotus emits transparent light. The light gets brighter and brighter. Gradually you feel that your body also slowly becomes transparent. Becomes transparent. As your body becomes more and more transparent, you feel that your body also slowly emits transparent light. The light gets brighter and brighter. Now you sense that the light from your body and the light from the transparent lotus gradually dissolve together, becoming one body. Now you feel that the light becomes even brighter. Even brighter. As your body continues to emit light, slowly the body becomes non-existent. Non-existent. Exists no more. Only a very bright light still exists. Now you feel you seem to enter a very bright world. Okay, you can open your eyes, relax your body, and stop chanting.
Wow, that was powerful. Thank you. What do you think, Pam?
Well, I'm still not quite here. I'm still in that real bright world. That was phenomenal. I really enjoyed it. I loved it. Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure. So I'll ask people, did you feel energy in your body during the healing or during the meditation? And did you see light or experience yourself in an ocean of light during the meditation? So if anyone wants to share me an experience they had, they can send me an email and give that out at the end. And
Why don't you go ahead and give out your website and your email, or I guess your email is probably up on the website, right?
Yes, I'll give out my personal email as well as the website. The website is D is darirulaitemple.org. It's D-A-R-I hyphen R-U-L-A-I hyphen temple.org. And info@dharaigurulaitemple.org is the email. And then my personal email is sayhellotodouglas@yahoo.com.
I always love that email. And if for anybody who needs that web address, you can go to spiritualconnectionsradio.com, and the link is up there. And we'll actually be leaving that up for about a month along, and I'll be putting the replay link up tomorrow morning, so the replay link will be there. So if you need any of that contact information or anything like that, it'll be up on the website for until later this month.
Great.
Go ahead,
and
Pam.
If people want a copy of the meditation, I don't usually email it, but if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you a copy of it. And if you do that meditation every day and at the end rest in the light for 10 minutes, then people who do that for 100 days or more report big changes and major results. So some people. So let me know how it goes for you if you try the practice for a week or 30 days or more. Okay.
Well, thank you so much. That was just amazing. And I'm sure we'll have lots of our audience listeners looking up this meditation again and again, because you can keep replaying it as well. You can go back into the archives and play the meditation again through the show. So it's an amazing opportunity. And thank you so much for that.
You're welcome. We have a number of empowered CDs that are guided meditations that can guide you into different states of consciousness and open up your energy channels and lead you along the path. So for people who are interested, they can look online or give us a call and ask about those.
Wonderful. Well, tell us a little bit about the center, if you would, Douglas, the center that you work in. I know you've talked about the healings that you do regularly, your donation to the community where you're working on people and help facilitate the healing of people in the community. What else does this center offer?
We have classes regularly on meditation. Not mm-hmm. according to a fixed schedule, but in the last few days, I've taught several classes. I taught the first, what's often taught first, is a chi activation and energizer that also has the empowerment so that people's hands will thereafter emit healing light. I also taught what we call a medicine Buddha class, which in the past was only taught to initiates of the school, but our teacher opened it up to the public. And what's special about that class particularly is that there's what's called an abhiseka. It's a major empowerment that gives people a link for the rest of their life to this whole lineage of awakened masters that goes back over 2,500 years. And that will give them spiritual protection and guidance and blessing, whatever they're doing in terms of their spiritual practices, as well as, of course, doing these spiritual practices. So we have classes like those. There's a number of other ones. I said the one that takes you to the first state of Zen, and then a more advanced Zen meditation, all kinds of healing techniques that people can learn. So many classes that we teach for people who are not initiates, for not disciples, and then for people who would like to become enlightened in this lifetime, there's more that can take someone, and my teacher always said, esoteric Buddhism teaches enlightenment in this lifetime, in this body, do not wait. So for people who are really committed to their spiritual path first and can let go of other things, there's a lot along those lines. We also do, as I mentioned, what we call Dharma rites, where we chant for people. And actually in the background, I don't think you can hear it, but there's people chanting and ringing bells and blowing horns as we've been speaking. We also, on Chinese New Year's Eve, do a big blessing for people for their whole year, as well as on people's birthdays. They can ask for this this chanting, this prayer rite that we do. So that's some of the things we do.
That's a huge amount of things. But do you also do retreats where someone can come to the temple and stay, for example, for a few days and practice?
We're in a pretty small location right now. We're wishing to move to a larger location where we can do that sort of thing. And I have been going up, so I mentioned we're kind of east of L.A. I've been going up and doing some teaching in Ojai, which is a community that's a little outside of L.A., but where people go into a lot of spiritual retreats. So in the future, there might be retreats in places like Ojai or Santa Barbara or the L.A. area. And if someone has a group and they would like myself or another teacher to come to them, then that's sometimes something that we can arrange.
Well, that was my next question.
Someone just invited me to go to Hawaii during the summer and join a group there. So there might be some kind of teaching that I'll be doing in Hawaii this summer.
Wonderful. How big would the group have to be?
Well, if it's local here, it doesn't need to be very big. If it's basically big enough so that you can invite one of us, and if we need to, and cover our transportation and give us a place to stay.
Okay. Well, that's great. Do you have any questions, Mark?
Just the usual one I ask everybody, and that is, Douglas, through all your spiritual experiences and everything that you've seen, what do you think is the most important lesson you've learned in your life so far?
Perseverance.
Mm-hmm.
There are three kind of overarching things: wisdom, compassion, and perseverance or courage, that are cornerstones of this path. And I mentioned when I started coming to the temple, I was less sensitive than many people who come to the temple. So initially I didn't experience much out of the ordinary. But many people very quickly experience things they've never experienced before, or fairly profound things. I needed to keep practicing for a while. And it took me a year and a half to go into stillness where I could rest with no thought. And for some people, I knew that was really easy. But for me, it took a while. And so by willingness to persevere, I have come a long way. And we all make mistakes along the way. We all have to learn at our own pace. But someone who has the heart and willingness to keep going, and humility to ask for help, and diligence to make their efforts, will be successful.
Back to you, Pam.
I was just going to say, I'd like to ask you to repeat the three cornerstones. You said perseverance, compassion, and what was the third one?
Wisdom.
Wisdom.
Oh, there are three bodhisattvas, you could say, that look over this school. One is Manjushri, mm-hmm. who represents wisdom. Another is Kuan Yin, represents compassion. And then another, Samanta Bhadra, represents diligence and courage, perseverance. So, one, we want to develop wisdom. We need to have compassion. And with a number of guidelines that have been set down and have been followed for thousands of years, people can develop the heart of generosity and compassion and unconditional love, can mm-hmm. step more into virtuous and ethical behavior, can develop their patience and tolerance and the strength of their heart and mind, and develop wisdom.
Thank you. Just a brief sidestep. On Thursday mornings, I do a radio show called Insights and Umbrellas with a doctor, psychotherapist, dear friend of mine. And she comes to the studio where I am every Thursday morning, and she brings her little chihuahua, whose name is Bodhisattva. She's a Buddhist. So Bodhisattva sits with me every Thursday morning from 9 to 10.
Wonderful. A bodhisattva, for those who don't know, is a soul who has reached the highest level of awareness, can graduate. You know, that we're here on this earth. This is a Buddhist and Hindu view that we keep reincarnating until we get to a certain level of awareness, and then we have cleaned off our karma, let go of our desires and attachments, and there's somewhere else you can go. And those who choose to keep coming back to help others are the bodhisattvas.
Lovely. Thank you for that. Okay, I think I am just about out of questions. There's so many things that we could talk about, but we're out of time to get into any big discussions. What do you think, Mark? Do you have anything else you want to ask before we close the program?
No, I think we're good. I think just in the last minute, is there any closing message, Douglas, you'd like to give to the audience?
I'll follow up on something that you mentioned earlier. I mentioned that there's the kind of the home temple in L.A. There are people, there are teachers in a center up in the Bay Area in California. There's someone in Colorado. There's a center there. There's teachers back east. And then there's other teachers and people who travel and teach around the U.S. and also people who are going to England, Europe. There's temples in England and in Ireland. And there's people who travel and teach in Europe and South America. So if people are interested, you can stay in touch. And what I would say is if this seems attractive enough to you, try one of the meditations. And if you stick with it for a period of time, most people who do ask for more. So if it resonates with you, give it a try.
Oh, that's excellent. Thank you for being on, Douglas. And as always, it's great to have you on the radio, Pam.
Thank you both. I really had a nice evening.
Thank you.
And all right, everybody. Thank you, Douglas. And good night, everybody. And you've been listening to Spiritual Connections Radio. And if you missed any part of the show, the replay will be available. And thank you, Douglas. And make sure to check out his website on spiritualconnectionsradio.com. You can get a link to his website. Go check out how to find him and get in contact with him. And he had promised that you can get a copy of some of the work that was done by sending him a self-addressed envelope. And it's great to have you both on this evening, and sending you many blessings, and thank you.
Mark, Pam.
Good night, Douglas.
Good night, Douglas.
Thanks again. Thanks for listening.
Life is but a dream.